first of all, thank you so much for the choir for using your gifts to share with us the love of God. That was amazing. You guys are so awesome. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these, but we called it a Chinese finger trap. Exactly, Maggie. So what we do is you put your fingers in the side and then, oh no, my fingers are caught. Especially if I pull really hard, I can't get my fingers out. Oh no. This reminds me sometimes when I'm supposed to clean my room and it's a big mess and I just want to run away, or sometimes when I get in a fight with my friend and instead of talk to them, I just want to run away. Or maybe I'm like doing schoolwork or something and it's really hard and I can't figure out the problem or I can't figure out what to write and I want to run away. I get more trapped. I'm still stuck. Some of you know the trick to this. What you have to do is you have to push into it. And then when you push in, your fingers can come. So sometimes when you don't want to clean your room and it's a big mess, you might not run away. You might maybe ask for help. Maybe one of your brothers or sisters could help you clean your room and then they could clean your room. Or maybe you share a room so it's a joint effort. Or if you have a hard math problem, you can ask for help from an adult or maybe a friend, who knows. And if you're in a fight with your friend, sometimes it's best to kind of slow down and talk to each other and see what's going on. Because sometimes in life we do feel trapped and we want to run away, but that's not what Jesus does in this scripture passage. He has a completely different mindset. He decides to stay and kind of lean in and listen, and he gets out of the trap. Will you all pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for this church and our ability to be a part of it. Thank you for all of these kiddos that sang with us this morning. Thank you that you are with us in every single trap, in every single moment of our lives. May we feel your love and your presence. In your name we pray. Amen. Watch out for that, yeah. So I have to be honest. When I first read this scripture, the first thing that popped into my mind as I was working out the sermon was from the movie Star Wars. Admiral Akbar, he goes, "It's a trap!" We find ourselves trapped in a lot of situations in life. The most low-hanging fruit example for me is I turn on Facebook and I'm scrolling and then all of a sudden I see a comment that is different than my own. And maybe it's drastically different. It could be a friend or a family member or even like a friend of a friend of a friend or something, and it's on there and I'm like, do I comment and make sure they know the real right answer? Or do I let it go? How do I have a human interaction about this very controversial subject? Or maybe it's a trap that you're in, possibly with a good friend or a significant other, and they say, does this look good on me? Or are these pants too tight? It's a trap. Don't answer. Or maybe it's a more less funny example where you meet someone for the first time and they ask you, where are you from? Or what do you do for a living? And you answer and you somehow find yourself in a stereotypical conversation about that specific region. Or if it's your profession, you end up having to be trapped in a conversation maybe you're a little uncomfortable with. Like if you're a medical professional, you end up looking at someone's rash or something. You know, it's just, we get trapped a lot in life. And I think Jesus has a wonderful way for us to navigate out of that trap with a completely different mindset than those that are trying to trap him. In order to kind of figure out what that is, I think we need to dig a little deeper into the history. What is actually happening in antiquity during this time? What is the context of their conversation? The first thing to notice is that the Pharisees and the Herodians are a team. Now, we don't hear a lot about the Herodians throughout Scripture, but they were supporters of the Roman Empire, and they believed that the descendants of King Herod the Great should rule Palestine. And on the other hand, we have the Pharisees. We've heard about them before. They're the religious leaders of the day. And they did not support the Roman Empire. They followed Jewish law, and they would have been very strict about that. So why in the world are these people on totally opposite opinions about politics joining together? Well, because they both want to trap this controversial Jewish rabbi, Jesus. So what do? They say, "Teacher, we know that you're a speaker of truth," and they go on to like pretend like they're being nice. And then they ask this question. They say, "Should we pay the tax to Caesar, to the emperor?" When we think of taxes today, we think of sales tax, income tax, federal tax, state tax. You know, we have a lot of different taxes, but they weren't talking about taxes in plural. They were talking about a specific tax. It was called the census tax, a head tax, and each person that was in the Roman Empire had to pay this tax. It would have been implemented in 6 CE. That's about the same time that Jesus was born, or maybe a little bit after. And it would have been very controversial at the time. A tax recently imposed on you from the government that you don't support. Ooh. And so this tax had an extra component to it. You couldn't pay it with any coin but a Roman coin. Now let's learn a little about coins. Actually, in doing this research, I totally understand why people collect coins now, because coins give you a beautiful picture into the time and place of when they were used. Coins were minted by hand. They poured the metal into a mold and they pressed it together, and we still have them today because they were made of metal. Three types of coins: Western Roman coins, Eastern Roman coins, and regional coins. The Jewish culture would have had their own coinage with their own images and their own beliefs on the coins. This tax you had to pay with a Western Roman coin. How do you think that the Roman Empire disseminated information during that day? Did they have a TV or a billboard or Twitter? Nope. They had art, pottery, and coins. Exactly. The propaganda of the day would have been written all over the coins. I actually have on your bulletin, in that first opening page, an image of the coin that scholars believed would have been used in this very conversation. It says, "Caesar Augustus Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus." What's going on here? When you became Caesar, you became a deity. And you built temples to yourself, so people would have gone and worshipped the Caesar of the day. This Jewish culture was forced to use an idol of another god. What is the second commandment in Jewish law? No other idols before me. So this trap was not only a political trap, it was also a religious trap. On one hand, Jesus could say, "Don't use that pagan coin. Do not pay the tax." And immediately, in an autocratic Roman Empire dictatorship, he would have been arrested and taken to Pontius Pilate. But that doesn't happen yet. On the other hand, he could have said, "Pay the tax, use the coin." But he would have alienated himself from his audience, the people that were listening. This tax was oppressive. They didn't want to pay it, and they especially didn't want to use that coin. So what does he do? He says, "Bring me a coin." Jesus didn't have a coin in his pocket. Jesus lived mostly on the hospitality and generosity of others. So the Pharisees bring him a coin, and he said, "Whose image is on that coin?" And they say, "The emperor's image." So he says, "Give back to the emperor what belongs to the emperor." This reminds me of the great Cubs tradition. When you go to a Cubs game and the opposing team hits a home run in your field, catch the ball, throw it back. "Get out of my house. I don't want this baseball. It's from your team," right? So it's this coin. This coin belongs to the emperor. Give it back to him. And the second thing he says is, what belongs to God give back to God. Where do we know the image of God? Where do we see the image of God? Genesis 1. We are created in the image of God. And so what Jesus does here is he reverses the mindset of what's going on here. He says, we, our hearts, our minds, our bodies are created in the image of God, and so we belong to God and we give ourselves back to God. This isn't a dichotomy of God versus Caesar or even the kingdom of God versus the Roman Empire. This is a total transformation and a completely different mindset of what's going on in the lives of the culture, of the Pharisees, of the Herodians. He's talking about completely different mindset. So here's the point of the sermon where I tell you how to live into the image of God. Here's a list of things to do and books to read. But it's not about that. It's about a different mindset of abundance, of peace, of a place where everyone has enough. This reminds me of that movie called Stranger Than Fiction. It stars Will Ferrell, and he's not so much in a comedic role in this movie. He's kind of dramatic comedic. And he just so happens to be a tax accountant, which is merely coincidental. Anyway, so he has a routine that he goes through every single day. He brushes his teeth the same amount of time. He puts on his tie the same amount of time, the same way. He eats the same thing for breakfast. He has a specific routine that he lives in. And all of a sudden, he wakes up, and there's a voice in his head. It's a voice of a narrator, and it's like narrating his entire life, and it really freaks him out. And so he goes to a book critic to kind of figure out, who is this voice? What's going on? But it narrates his whole life, and eventually he starts kind of playing off of that narrative. He opens himself to a new relationship. He starts doing his job a little differently, and eventually, spoiler alert, he gets to know the author, and it changes his life in very powerful ways. So what does it look like when our minds have a new narrative where we are not only created in the image of God, but we get to be imitators of this controversial Jewish rabbi? We get to take on his yoke, the yoke that is easy and the burden that's light. So those coins in your pocket, buy your bread, pay your taxes. But you, all y'all, we belong to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.